Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers are piling up wins. Can they finish off in Utah before the All-Star break? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcast. It's always free. It's never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 23,000 subscribers, all of whom, Andy, are starting to maybe just get that feeling of optimism despite their best knowledge, you know, what they know is good for them, what they've seen from this team, Andy, at 29 and 26 with a chance to go into Utah tonight and finish off the first half of the season with another win against those Jazz. Four games over 500, they beat. People are feeling good after they beat the Pistons 125-111 on Tuesday.
Yeah, some good times right now for the Lakers. We saw the debut of Spencer Dinwiddie, and we also have right now the return of Darian Vaziri, the host of Locked On Clippers, a master of all things LA basketball knowledge. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, guys. This is a very interesting show that I'm actually on, and the Clippers are not involved. So I'm actually excited about this, to be honest, to just talk Lakers and talk about this game, Spencer Dinwiddie, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we decided we've had too many opportunities for people to just get mad at you. So we figure if it's not a Clippers-related thing, we can talk basketball, we can talk a little Western Conference, we can talk Lakers, get your impressions on Dinwiddie.
Yeah, tell the people all of the LA basketball that you cover, Darian, and all the different ways that they can hear you, see you talk about this. Like, they should know you're not just some Clippers stan.
Right. I mean, Locked On Clippers on the Locked On Network, and then Dime Dropper is my own channel where I go live after most Laker and Clipper games, basically all. When I go to a Clipper game, I'll make a video of it just to share the experience with the fans. But also that applies to other LA sporting events that I go to, like Dodger games. I haven't been to a Kings game in a while. Got to. And then I do basketball on Figueroa with Edwin Garcia, who's a Laker beat writer for Silver Screen and Roll. So we do one episode a week talking all things Lakers, Clippers, and Sparks. So that's always fun. But yeah, those are all my LA basketball exploits.
Makes us feel lazy for just doing one show a day. But I
we're much older, Darian. We don't really have the energy to keep up Darian's pace anymore.
It's exhausting. No.
But you know, 120, I mentioned it, 125-111, the final score on Tuesday at the Crypt. Lakers beat the Pistons. The Pistons have won 8 games this year. I mean, they're playing better than they were, you know, earlier in the year when they lost 30 games in a row or whatever, but they're still really bad. And the Lakers did what you would want. They went out, they were up by 10 at the end of the first quarter. They're up by 23 at the end of the first half. And they just kind of kept the Pistons at an arm's length the rest of the game. And generally speaking, a fairly professional win. And you start to look at it, and you know, the starting lineup with Torian Prince now on the bench, and Rui Hachimura is as the starter there, is now 5-0. You've added Spencer Dinwiddie, who played 30 minutes tonight against the Pistons. And like, the vibes have definitely changed, really pivoted since that Boston win.
Yeah, it really felt like, I mean, we'll get Darian's thoughts on it as well, but it really felt like that was, it's too early to say a turning point just because there has not been enough time and we haven't seen exactly where this season's going, but it's just felt like that was kind of, if nothing else, like a come to Jesus moment. Just like, what are we doing with this season? And whatever dissatisfaction may be in the locker room with Darvin Ham and rotations or whatever frustrations about the injuries, whatever moves LeBron or Anthony Davis or whoever would have liked to see, not see happen, whatever, guys in trade rumors. There's a get your bleep together feel that I think that's come across this team now, Darian, that seems to be taking.
Yeah, I was so ready when the news came out that LeBron wasn't going to play against Boston to say, like, all right, the Lakers are just being unserious this season. Like, they clearly just don't care where they want to land in terms of seeding. They expect that they can go into the playoffs like last season and just have Anthony Davis and LeBron. They're both playing at a high level this season and make a run. But now, ever since that game, they've been playing a different level of basketball. I mean, they've won, what, 5 out of the last 6, 7 out of the last 10. So things are starting to roll. You're starting to see D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves get comfortable again together in that starting lineup. It was so close to Laker fans getting that starting lineup that they wanted, that they saw in the conference finals with Reeves, D'Lo, LeBron, AD, and Vando. Vando gets hurt, but I think Rui stepped in really well so far. He was really aggressive in this game against Detroit. And Taurean Prince, since he's moved to the bench, I think that allows him to play to the expectation that he was brought to the Lakers with, and that is that he's a solid bench player. I think the constant 30-plus minute games were only putting him in a position to be – I don't want to say slandered, but the criticism was very high for Taurean Prince. When, to be honest, I mean, he's a solid role player, and that's all he is. Like, that's what he is to me. And I think he's been decent for the Lakers this season, but at times I think he's been deemed as, you know, Ham's favorite player and the guy that's been getting a longer leash than other guys. So I thought he played well in this game, but you're starting to see some continuity. D'Angelo Russell, for example, since he's been put back in the starting lineup, I looked it up before we recorded this, but he's shooting 47% from three, and he's averaging 24 points a game since he's been put back in the starting lineup. I think he's been great.
Yeah, you know, Brian and I, Darian, we've talked on a few previous shows about how it may have been a relief to Taurean to actually go to the bench, because these guys all hear everything that's said about them, and it's not his fault that he's playing a larger role than he really should. We've been making this point a lot. Like, he's actually been playing fine. The problem is the way he's being used, not him. But, like, right. I imagine after a while, you start hearing this stuff, and you know that every time you ever miss a three inside the crypt, which everybody is going to miss shots, like, you feel that negative energy. And I imagine it's been kind of a relief for Taurean to end up in this role. Now he's playing some of the best ball of this entire season, and I don't even think he's necessarily doing anything differently.
No, but it's like, it's a deployment thing. And this is really the issue with Darvin. And I think, you know, it is the root, and we'll get into Spencer Dinwiddie and his debut for the Lakers on Tuesday. You know, the stat line for Dinwiddie over 31 minutes, relatively modest. He did have 7 assists against 4 turnovers, 6 points, 2 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 5 from three. So, you know, not a dazzling statistical evening for Dinwiddie, but a good way to kind of break in with the team against the Pistons squad that just isn't very good. And he'll get, you know, he got a couple practices, and he got this game. He'll get tonight's game against Utah, and then the All-Star break. So, like, there's a good chance for him to get acclimated. But Darvin was asked earlier in the week about whether or not, you know, like, could you see Dinwiddie finishing games? Could you see using 3-guard lineups? And he answered like most coaches do, which is like, sure, I could see doing that under certain circumstances and, you know, sometimes. And of course, Lakers fans have so much PTSD over these, you know, the 3-guard lineups with, what was it, Russ, Avery, Bradley, and who was the third? I forget. But, like, you know, these lineups were just terribly ineffective that Darvin kept leaning into, and especially last year. And there's just this assumption that it's like he's going to screw this up. And so when you can put a guy like Prince back in a place that makes sense and leave him there, you know, 20 minutes a night, 22, 24, occasionally maybe a little higher if the matchup presents itself. That just
like the way they closed out against the Knicks.
Yes, for example, makes everything easier. And now Rui gets a chance to kind of understand where he's going to be playing and how much and when. He went 7 of 10 on Tuesday night. He had 15 points and 5 rebounds and was a plus 13. It's like, everyone ought to be more comfortable in what they're doing and where and how with this lineup change, even when hopefully Jared Vanderbilt comes back, hopefully Gabe Vincent comes back, Cam Reddish after the All-Star break, Max Christie after the All-Star break. So we'll see how that goes. I want to get you guys' thoughts on the debut of Dinwiddie and Darian, your just sort of big picture thoughts on what you think he'll do for the Lakers going forward, and then what the Western Conference looks like going into the All-Star break, because it is brutal out there. Absolutely brutal. So all that coming up next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Hunger Root, and it's the easiest way to get fresh, high-quality food delivered to your door. They've got healthy groceries, simple recipes, all in one place. And as somebody who has enjoyed a Hunger Root shipment, let me tell you, you are in for some awesome eating. You just take a fun short quiz so Hunger Root can get to know you, how you like to eat, your favorite flavors, kitchen appliances you use, all that sort of stuff. And they'll keep your preferences top of mind. Start building your cart with awesome recipes and your grocery needs for a week. Hunger Root has fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, pantry staples, healthy snacks, sweets, all sorts of stuff. Some of my favorites include the lemon pepper half chicken. That is really, really good. The cucumber corn black bean salad. It's really good on its own, but also mixed into other salads. Give it a little bit of taste and texture. Hunger Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be easy to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hunger Root is offering Locked On NBA listeners 40% off their first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungerroot.com/lockedon to get 40% off your first delivery and to get those veggies. That's hungerroot.com/lockedon. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Mentioned going into the break, guys, that Rui Hachimura seems to be feeling a little bit more comfortable. Our friend Jacob Rude from Silver Screen and Roll tweeted out as I was saying that over his last five games, as mentioned the new starting lineup, Rui Hachimura is 21 of 25 on two-pointers. That's pretty good. That is a healthy percentage. So, you know, he had been kind of disappointing for a lot of the season, whether you're blaming Darvin, whether you're blaming Rui, whether you're blaming injuries. Like, the Lakers need more production out of, you know, I know, Andy, you've been wanting to see more of him. Like, they can't be their best selves with Rui being disappointing. He takes up too much space in their salary structure. He plays too big a role in the rotation.
Well, Rui's going to get more of an opportunity tonight against Utah because LeBron said after the game he will not be playing in Utah against the Jazz, second end of a back-to-back. So that's even more shots, more production opportunities for Rui. And then in the meantime, presuming for the time being, unless we see anything over the over social media, over Twitter, that AD won't be playing, I presume he'll play. He didn't play at all in the fourth quarter in this win over Detroit. Before we get to Darian's thoughts on Dinwiddie, just want to make sure we point out AD's night. 20 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 1 of 3 from behind the arc, 7 of 7 from the line, 14 rebounds, 3 on the offensive glass, 4 assists. AD's passing this season has been phenomenal. Like, I had always thought that that was the relatively weakest part of his game. Not that he was a bad passer, but that he wasn't necessarily a great one either. This season, something has clicked, and I don't know if it's the time he spent talking with LeBron about different ways to navigate, like, double teams out of the post, stuff like that, but he's been sensational. And then he had 6 blocks in this game. The dude is just a monster. Darvin Ham referred to him after the game as the Ray Lewis of the Lakers defense. I think that's pretty apt. Spencer Dinwiddie, as you mentioned, Brian, made his debut tonight. 7 assists against 4 turnovers, a little bit of scoring, a couple steals. Darian, what were your thoughts on the Dinwiddie pickup for the Lakers, and what are you expecting from him? What do you think are some of the things that he can bring for this team?
Well, at first, I was a little confused because, you know, I know that one of the big talks this season has been Reeves and D'Lo playing together and that they're both not great defensively. So bringing in another guy who doesn't have the best defensive reputation and is going to come in and look to score, look to playmake and pick and roll. It's basically another guy that's solid in the pick and roll that can score but isn't great defensively. So almost like someone that can do a lot of the things that D'Lo and Reeves can do. But then I remembered that the Lakers have now moved D'Lo and Reeves both to the starting lineup. So essentially you want Spencer Dinwiddie to run that second unit, which Dennis Schroeder kind of did last year, and you thought Gabe Vincent was going to do this year. So I think he can be helpful. Overall, in my opinion, the intention of the Lakers by bringing him in and just empowering D'Lo and Reeves to do more offensively is to keep LeBron fresher, I think, down the line to close games. I think that's the goal, is to have that playmaking around LeBron so that when it comes to the fourth quarter, he's not too gassed. And I have to say, Austin Reeves, something I wanted to point out, right when I started saying, I remember I said this on Basketball and Figueroa to Edwin, it felt like he was having a lot of tunnel vision this season at one point where he was in the pick and roll and looking to only get fouled or score, and he wasn't finding guys on the roll or finding open guys when he was controlling the ball in pick and roll, whereas D'Lo was. And I think D'Lo is a better passer than Reeves, just in my opinion. But ever since the Knicks game, Austin Reeves has really been making an effort to look for guys in pick and rolls. And the last four games, he's averaging 8 assists. And that's before counting this Detroit game. The stats haven't updated yet. But he had some crazy dimes in this one in the first quarter. And at times, I thought when the Lakers let the Pistons get back in the game, not really get back in the game, but cut it down to 12, thought they were getting a little nonchalant with the passing, looking a little bit to make highlight plays. But I will say the first quarter, Reeves was throwing some great dimes. And one thing you're seeing from the Lakers recently, pushing the pace more on misses. And Andy, you mentioned it with AD. Since when did he become such a good outlet passer? Where did that come from?
It's been really fun to see. And also just, Brian, indicative of the way AD is just turning himself into this complete player at a time when, you know, the Lakers really need to be making this transition to AD being the best player on this team.
He's the best player. I mean, he's the best player on the team, certainly on a night in, night out basis. Both sides of the ball. He's not only one of the best players, he's the best player on the Lakers. He's playing at an MVP level. If the Lakers had more, if the Lakers had 34 wins, you know, 35 wins, he'd be right in the middle of the MVP conversation. That is how well he's playing. And like you said, Andy, in the last segment, he could always pass, but like the last, 10 games, even especially, like he is cranked up the I don't know if it's a confidence issue, freedom issue, or if they're just kind of running more stuff through him. Teams are double teaming him very aggressively frequently, which means he's got to be able to find that player, so maybe I don't know exactly what it is, but it's cool. I did like, I will say, one of his six blocks came, the highlight everybody's seeing is the 3-on-1 where he, who was trying to go up on, I forget, it was a 3-on-1, Pistons had a 3-on-1 break. But what really, and I knew we were having Darian on the show, and what I was laughing about when I saw that play was, had he seen the spacing that the Pistons had on that 3-on-1, Darian, with the sixth graders he was coaching this year, Darian instantly would have had those kids running wind sprints. So it was just like everybody was on this, like either too far behind on the same level. It was the most, that's how you get to have like six wins or whatever the Pistons have. It was that bad. But then to your point, Darian, I thought about Reeves. Tell me if you guys agree. I think he's a better passer when he doesn't have to worry about actually orchestrating the offense. I think part of what it is where he gets in those in-between moments, Darian, is like, I'm supposed to be the point guard kind of running the offense, so I got to make sure I'm doing the point guard stuff. But really what I want to do is kind of attack and create, and if guys are moving, make that play. I mean, I feel like one of the best things that Dinwiddie will do is make it so Reeves can always have an actual point guard next to him, which ironically I think will make him a better passer.
Yeah, I think having Austin Reeves attack from the wings might be beneficial. You know, he's a pretty good passer on the, he's looking like he's been a better passer on the drive recently, just looking for his teammates more. But yeah, I think having another ball handler might be beneficial. I think only time will tell with that. But as far as he and D'Lo in the starting lineup recently, you're starting to see the offense of the Lakers really take off, because going into the season, you know, coming off that Western Conference Finals run, the whole strength of the Lakers last season was their defense, the job that Dennis Schroeder did on Curry, the way Anthony Davis literally shut the Grizzlies and the Warriors down in back-to-back series, Vando and his defensive skills. But this season, you're starting to see that outside of AD, there's not that many very good defenders on this team. But the third and fourth best players on this team are D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves. So the fact that the Lakers even tried putting both of them on the bench, trying to lean into this all defense thing, and it wasn't really working because it essentially made LeBron play full-time point guard, which it doesn't seem like he wants to do anymore. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons they went for Westbrook in the first place. But you're starting to see now.
I like to think it was a reason. Otherwise, I don't know what the reason was.
Right. You're getting D'Lo and Reed in the starting lineup together. You're starting to see the offensive explosions now, because you literally just have more offensive talent on the court consistently. And I think maybe this Laker team might be a little better offensively than they are defensively. Who knows? But they might be higher in offensive rating by the end of the season. Right now, they're still higher in defensive, but these last couple of games, three out of the last four games, you scored 120-plus points. So we'll see. Now with Dinwiddie, another offense-first guy, he's already played with D'Lo in Brooklyn. We shall see.
I mean, I think we'll finish this off, but like I feel like they are clearly a better off. I think the defense can be better and will be better in critical games in the playoffs. And LeBron locks in more, you know, you get the best versions of everyone, and then Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. I agree with you, Darian. I feel like they are leaning into an identity now. And Andy, I think this is just what they are. They are a team now that's going to score a lot of points. They win tonight against Utah. That game, by the way, 6 o'clock on every minute of the hometown broadcast on SiriusXM on the SXM app. Again, 6 o'clock. Catch every minute of Lakers broadcasts on the SXM app. Search Lakers. That is a tongue twister. I think they'd be winning 8 out of 12. They win tonight. They have not moved in the standings because the Western Conference is a cold and ruthless place that I want to talk about with Darian. Get his feelings about where things stand going into the break. We'll do it next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. That's what brings home the winning trophy. It's also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance, from superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts, 122 million for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. And with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring that win home. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers.
So I mentioned the Lakers have won 7 of 10. In that stretch, they have gained no ground, kind of keeping the Warriors behind them. The Warriors are playing really well all of a sudden. They have gained 2 games on the Kings, but they've gained no games on the Mavericks, who've won 5 straight. They've gained 1 game on the Suns and Pelicans and Nuggets, nothing on the Clippers, nothing on the Timberwolves, and only 1 on the Thunder. Point being, everybody in the top 10 in the Western Conference, aside from Sacramento, is either 6-4 or 7-3 over their last 10 games. It is really difficult to move. It does seem like, though, Darian, that the conference has sort of settled into 2 tiers. At the top, you've got Minnesota, Oklahoma City, the Clippers, and the Nuggets. That's your top 4. The Lakers, really, the best chance they have, the highest they could really seem to possibly go, would be the 5 seed. They do own the tiebreaker over the Suns. There are 3.5 games separating Phoenix, New Orleans, Dallas, Sacramento, and the Lakers. When you look at the conference, first of all, would you kind of agree, like, that's basically the hierarchy But like, what are you seeing in terms of teams that like are for real and which ones aren't? Cause like it is brutal in the West.
It seems like I do agree with your tiers thing. And I have one of my rules is that I think that the champion has to be a top three seed. I always say this, and I think I've probably said it on your guys' show before, but only two teams in NBA history have won a championship lower than the three seed, 69 Celtics, 95 Rockets. Every other team has been top three to win it all. So in my opinion, only one of these three teams is going to be the champion. Denver Nuggets, Clippers, or the Celtics. I think one of those three teams is going to be the champion. I think Laker fans are obviously going to hate on me in the comments for it, which is normal, but no Laker team. Hey, this is what I'll say this. No Laker team has ever won the championship in this city that was lower than the three seed. Look at the history. So that's what I think.
Just look at Darian right now. He's in a Dodger hat and a Rams hoodie. Like, he clearly loves all LA teams. This is not him rooting for the Clippers ahead of the Lakers. This is just looking at the standings and history.
Yes. It's also worth noting the Clippers are 35-17 after. I mean, this is including that sort of slow, sluggish start, like the slow integration of Harden. They've been like arguably the best team in the NBA over the last month and a half. I mean,
like, I feel comfortable though putting these words in Darian's mouth. You would be happy if the Lakers won a championship, like, just so people understand this.
Well, this I don't. I mean, you know, I don't know about anymore. Because I've seen it so much, it gets, for me as a Clipper fan, it gets so loud and it's right in front of my face. So it can't hurt. And now because of the, you know, when the Lakers went into,
you know, man, I tried. I really tried.
Good thing you didn't put those words in his mouth because they're not the right words.
I can't agree. I'll take all the booze. But the thing is, in 2010, when the Lakers won, for example, there was nobody talking about the Clippers when the Lakers won. Like, there was no Laker fans like, yeah, we won and the Clippers didn't. In 2020, it was a whole different kind of energy because of what's happened since 2010. You've had Glenn Rivers come in and add his Celtic touch to our organization by covering the banners and the jerseys. Now you have Ballmer putting up his billboards and kind of doing this anti-Laker, we're different than them kind of campaign. So it's added a little animosity. This is what I'll say. I don't hate the Lakers like most Clipper fans. But this current iteration, I can't say I root for them. I'm just very neutral. If you want to, you know, sit back and watch some nice Showtime Lakers or Kobe Bryant with me, I'll gladly sit there and appreciate the genius with any Laker fan. But no way I'm rooting for them in any way. Clippers, we have a great chance. But here's what I'll say. The Minnesota Timberwolves are a really bad matchup for the Clippers. I don't think that they can win a championship this season, but I do think that they have a chance to go to the conference finals. And weirdly, I think the Lakers are a great matchup for them because Anthony Davis really nullifies Gobert to me. And Gobert has nothing for AD offensively, whereas AD can really score on Gobert. So to me,
the Lakers have played the Wolves. They played the Wolves well. Even shorthanded.
This is right. What I think is fascinating about this piece. Like, you know, you're going to get to the playoffs, Andy. And, you know, well, obviously I'm going to favor the Timberwolves. You and I, before the season started, when we were going, you know, our friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook, like all the numbers that were coming out, I'm like, take your money. If you want a longer shot that is actually like realistic and not like hee hee ha ha, like, look at the funny things I can do with my money. Go put a little bit of cash down on the Oklahoma City Thunder because they could absolutely positively make the leap this year.
We've been on that train early.
And they have. And like, that's it. And I don't buy this, like, well, they're too young and they're, you know, they're really good. And Shea is a destroyer of worlds and Chet is really good. And like, that roster's got so much depth. Love that team. You know, I love, you know, Minnesota's really good. The Thunder are really good. The Clippers are really good. The Nuggets are obviously really good. But you know what? Like, the Suns, I don't buy them to win a title. But
right, I can see them going to the conference finals. But maybe
right. But if you want to tell me that a team with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker can't beat anybody in a series, like I don't think they can win enough of them to win the whole thing. They could absolutely beat anybody in a 7-game series just because they have those three guys. And the, you know, I'm going to set the Pelicans aside here because they're not doing it. You know, what I really, you know, this new version of the Mavericks looks really impressive. And now you have maybe some defense around Luka and some support around Luka. I'm not sure I'd be in love with playing them. I don't really want to play the Lakers with LeBron and AD after what they did last year, assuming everybody's healthy and like they're playing. Like, there's no, this could be a year, Andy, where I think strange things happen because every team's going to have a little bit of a kryptonite matchup somewhere in there.
Well, I think Darian summed it up really well when he talked about how he believes in the Clippers more as a team than the Wolves, but he thinks the Wolves may just be a matchup problem for the Clippers if they actually went up against each other in a series. Like, we've seen Oklahoma City has been, on balance, a better team than the Lakers. And I could, if you had to bet money on the Thunder or the Lakers going further in the playoffs, all evidence would be put your money on the Thunder. I mean, they've just been really good all year and they've been objectively better than the Lakers. But we've also seen if the Lakers play the Thunder in a series, they are, based off what we've seen, one of the best teams equipped to actually take out the Thunder, even if you think the Thunder could beat more teams in the West in a series against the Lakers. Like, they just
Chet's,
don't
Chet
have...
steps on the floor against the Lakers with three fouls.
Right. I mean, they don't have a matchup at all for AD. Like, they just don't.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. Brian mentioned the top four in the West. This season, the Lakers actually match up pretty well with three of them. The matchup against the Clippers has changed massively because we lost that front court depth. These bigger teams give us problems, and the Lakers this season have given us real problems. Anthony Davis obviously gives a lot of people problems, but we don't have the same bodies to throw at LeBron that we did with Batum and Morris and all those guys. So the one team that the Lakers have an issue with in that top four is Denver. But those other three teams, I'm not going to say I would take the Lakers over the Clippers just because I'd have to ride with my squad, but the Timberwolves in the Thunder. Yeah, they're
clearly your squad. We've established this after I tried to ingratiate you with our fan base.
Yeah.
Listeners and our readers, Darian.
You can take the horse to water. You cannot make him drink.
My uncle's been trying to get me to make a U-turn for 19 years.
Yeah, this would have been useful information, Darian, before I started caping up for you.
Hey, well, again, plenty of Laker content coming your way on my channel from the past. So
it is good.
I want to go back and just like pull the footage of Darian's face politely listening to this whole thing about how, like, you know, how you're trying to set him up, and you can just see in his head going, yeah, none of that is true. I mean, it's really nice and I see what you're doing here, but none of that is true.
Yeah, well, there was a day back when the Lakers beat the Celtics and I wore my Kobe jersey to school the next day like all the other kids. And I wasn't going to root for Boston over the Lakers, but right now, everything with the Kawhi versus LeBron.
Not all heroes wear capes, Darian.
Well, he's since put away those childhood things. He's a grown up now.
My Kobe jersey doesn't fit me anymore, but it'll hang in the closet and it'll always be there.
It would be fascinating if this was finally the year the Lakers and Clippers played. Like, just because, not only because we could have some great crossover episodes, but just because, like, you talk about, like, over the last couple of years, even when the Lakers were pretty good, like, that matchup with the Clippers, just awful. Like, it was terrible.
Right.
That was the kryptonite matchup for the Lakers. And, like, it has changed some, but it's not like the Clippers don't pose. You know, we spent a little time earlier in the show talking about, like, the Lakers are not the strongest defensive squad that you're going to find. And, you know, Paul George with, you know, Kawhi Leonard and James Harden just having to kind of be a facilitator and not relied on to score and all the, like, that is a problem. That is playoff Kawhi. Like, that is a thing.
I will also go out on a limb and say Russ will really, really, really want to win that series,
which could be good either team.
I have a feeling he'll be locked in.
I was going to say something like that. You know, you never know. Sometimes he goes so hard and wants to win so bad, he gets out of control, as everybody in the city knows in both fan bases at this point.
Yeah. All right.
That is true.
It is obviously Locked On Clippers. And then, like, the whole Dime Dropper family of thing. It's really an empire. I think we can call it that.
It's like his MCU.
Right. It kind of is. And so, you know, make sure you're just checking out all the stuff that Darian is doing. It really is, you know, for hoops junkies in LA. It's just, it's a great resource, great material that he's putting out. And as we mentioned, put out a lot of it. And so he is working hard for you. Make sure you check it out. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show, talk about tonight's game against the Jazz. Again, reminder, Lakers versus Jazz. Catch every minute of the hometown broadcast. 6 o'clock is the tip on the Sirius XM app on the SXM app. Search Lakers. We'll be back to recap it after it's all done. We'll see everybody tomorrow.